Well, I want to just welcome each and every one of you in the wonderful name of Jesus. As you know, today, and you see on the background, we are going to have communion after I share the word today. So what I want to encourage you with is get your elements ready. Maybe some of you have already got them ready. Maybe you want to pause this YouTube and get your elements ready as a family and take it together as a family. Dad, if you're there, pray over your family today. I think this is going to be an amazing word, and I just pray that as you take communion as a family, there will be some incredible, wonderful, anointed experience to bind you together as a family. Come, let's just open it with prayer. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we can come together in the name of Jesus. Lord, through this wonderful system that you've created for this time while the church is not gathering, I pray for these precious, faithful people that hear your word, because Lord, this is on your heart, because it's your will that we will live like this. And I pray, Lord, as we discuss even further this discipleship series, because you've called us to be disciples, I want to pray that ears will hear what the Spirit of God says, not the pastor's voice, but what the Spirit of God's holy voice will say to each one of us. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Welcome to everyone. Welcome to our Bikers Church family. We're so excited. There's a lot of stuff being said in the news and in media. So we're waiting to see and hear that we can open up by 50% capacity, not by 50 people, which means we could probably open up our place to about 200 to 230 people comfortably, with all the spacing and all the protocol that goes with it. Wonderful, awesome, incredible idea. But today I want to talk to you specifically in our discipleship series number 9. Yes, I'm busy with number 9 already. Can you believe our time just flies by? But I want to talk to you about in this discipleship series number 9. But before I tell you what I want to talk about, I want to just say this. It's so important that I just get that off my chest and my heart. And that is the sermons that are prepared. And a lot goes into this. I don't think many always realize how much goes into this. Waiting on God, getting a word, preparing the word, researching the word, passionately praying over the word that God's Spirit will anoint the people that hear it. But this that we do is not just for a Sunday entertainment. Ons beter daarna gaan luister. We must go and listen to this, because just now the pastor phones me and he wants to know, did I watch it? So I don't want to lie. So let's might just get through this. You know what? This is meant to change our lives. This is meant to grow your life. And if that is not your intent, to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, there's something wrong with your spiritual life. This should be a joy to be able to do this. This should be something you should look forward to, not to hear me, but to hear what the Spirit of God is busy teaching us, because this is a word from God. So that's what I want to say to you today. And I just thank you for you faithful people that are faithful to tune in and switch on to this. So what I want to talk to you about, as I honor each one of you that have tuned in and listening, whether on Facebook or whether on YouTube, or maybe someone even listening to the podcast. So welcome to each one of you. I want to talk to you today about a subject that is very dear to my heart, and that is this, because it's dear to God's heart, and that is this: a disciple has a thankful heart. A disciple has a thankful heart. Can I say this? I really believe this. The worship that is most acceptable to God comes from a thankful, listen, and a cheerful heart. What I've learned in life, it takes a load of stuff. It takes a lot to discourage and demotivate a thankful, cheerful heart. When you're thankful for everything, man, the devil can come at you. But you know what? When you give thanks for even your circumstances, which we'll read the scripture, the enemy gets blown over, man. He cannot attack you. It's so hard to be discouraged when you live with a thankful heart. So I pray that you would hear this message. So I read the story the other day, and I want to say something by sharing this story. But a mother was reading from a book of Bible stories to her little daughter, little Lucy. And when she came to the part on the page, when she opened up showing that the Christians were being fed to lions, to show what they went through, how the Christians were persecuted for the name of Jesus' sake. And the little girl's looking at this thing, and her mom showing these pictures where the lions are busy attacking the Christians, to really make a point. And the little girl starts to cry, and the mother turns around and says to her, honey, I'm sure that they're all going to heaven. Jesus is with them. And the little girl answers her mommy. She says, but mommy, she says, that lion in the corner there, he doesn't have a Christian. I think it's safe to say that Lucy missed the incredible point. So I want to say, in the light of that, I hope you don't miss the point of this sermon today, in the name of Jesus. Listen, I want to start off by sharing with you Colossians 2, verse 7, and just follow with me on this beautiful scripture as Paul writes to the Colossians church. And as he writes this letter, we read it, and it's relevant for you and me today. And we're talking about a disciple has a thankful heart. Listen to this, Colossians 2, verse 7. He says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted. The roots of your being, who you are, since you become a Christian, you need to have roots deep down in the spiritual things. He says, have the roots of your whole being, firmly, not just ingeplant, no, firmly, and how? Deeply planted. Where? In Him, fixed and founded in Him. Praise the name of Jesus. Where are you fixed, founded, and planted today? You need to be deeply planted in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, being continually built up in Him. So in other words, like a tree, you plant its root, you have a solid long root, not oppervlakkige roots, a deep root, which gives a big shoot, which produces a great fruit. And that's what he's busy saying, built up in Him, becoming, and here's the word, increasingly more confirmed and more established in your faith. More established, not less, not half gebak, no, more of, just as you were taught, just as you were taught. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what Jesus says in Matthew 28:19? Go into the world, make disciples, baptize them, and then teach them everything that I've taught you. And here Paul is saying that just you must live out just what you've been taught. And you need to listen to the beautiful word. You need to be abounding and overflowing in this wonderful truth. And how do you do it? Say with me loud, thanksgiving. A disciple has a thankful heart. Man, you want to see a thankful person who walks with Jesus, you'll know that is a disciple of Jesus. Because in Hebrews 12, verse 28, this is what he says in the Message Bible. Do you see what we've got? What have we got? We've got an unshakable kingdom. Praise God. Everything around us is shaking. The world is shaking. But you're standing on an unshakable kingdom. He says, and do you see how thankful we must be? I'm on a solid kingdom, man. I need to be rooted and grounded in thankfulness. And I'm standing on an unshakable kingdom. And listen, how thankful should I be? Not only thankful for, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. But listen, for God is not an indifferent bystander. God is not somewhere out there and I'm trying to do this Christian. No, He's part of my life. I'm rooted in Him. I'm founded in Him. That's exactly what He says. That's why I love what this dude, A.W. Beecher, great man of God, and he wrote this, and he says this, pride. And he has the biggest problem. You see, when I'm filled with pride, it's not easy to give thanks, because he says pride slays thanksgiving. And it does. It robs you of being a thankful person. That's why pride is so terrible. That's why the Bible says God opposes the proud. Think about it. God's against a proud person. But He shows His grace favorably and His mercy on the humble. So He says pride slays thanksgiving. But a humble mind, a humble person, a humble disciple is the soil out of which thanks naturally grows. You see, when you're a humble person, man, I tell you, thanksgiving is a part of your vocabulary. It's a part of how you live. He says it grows naturally out of the ground. He says, but a proud man is seldom grateful. Why? He says, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. That's the problem with a proud person. Oh, this is happening to me. That's happening to you. I'm not getting this. Look how bad life is. And you're always murmuring and grumbling. Man, I want to talk a bit about that today. Because really, it's one's attitude really that determines whether life unfolds into a place of blessedness or wretchedness. Man, in die Afrikaans het so 'n lekker woord hierso. Wretchedness, armsaligheid, ellendigheid. Some ellendig, man. When you're full of pride, your attitude determines you have a blessed life or a wretched life, 'n armsalige lewe of 'n ellendige lewe of 'n geseënde lewe. It really depends on our perspective, doesn't it? And how many people have said, looking at a rose bush, some complain that roses have thorns, ne? But others rejoice that when you look at thorns and you see, wow, in this misery stuff, there are beautiful roses. What an aspect. You talk about an optimist and a pessimist. Listen to this. An optimist says, the cup is half full, man. And a pessimist always says, ach, you weet, kyk, die beker is half leeg. It's half empty. But let me tell you what a child of God does, what a disciple of Jesus does. He says, my cup runneth over, hallelujah. My cup runneth over, man. It's how you approach life. That's what it is. A humble, thankful person is a blessed person. I really hope that you're a thankful person. This is the only life that we will have before we enter eternity. You better know that. And if you want to find joy, you must first find thankfulness. Because listen, N-O stands for no. K-N-O stands for no. But I want to say this, no thanks, no joy. N-O, thanks, N-O, joy. But if you K-N-O-W, thanks, if you no thanks, you will no joy. That is a fact of life. The truth is, the one who is thankful for even a little enjoys much. That's the wonderful thing about a thankful person. However, what is also true, and please listen to this, the unthankful, the unappreciative, and there's so many of these kind of people around, those kind of souls, they're always miserable, always complaining, never satisfied. This kind of person lives outside the shelter of the Most High. How can you walk in the blessing of God when you're completely murmuring and full of nonsense? Israel went through that same exact stuff. Listen to me. Perhaps the worst enemy we have is not the devil in our lives, but it's our own mouths, our own tongue. It's what we allow to come out of our mouths, so we need to check ourselves. Because we got to be careful. Am I giving thanks always? Am I seeing things to give thanks for? Or am I seeing the miserable and the unhappy and a lemon sucker kind of person? What kind of person are you? Because we got to watch our tongues. You know what James says about the tongue? And you all know the scripture, and it's a beautiful scripture worth listening to. James 3 verse 6, he says, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness. It's full of poison. Every part of the body, yes, it poisons every part of the body. This little thing when it wags. He says, and the tongue is set on fire. Where? By hell itself. Satan is behind a tongue that is ungrateful, that is unthankful. He's behind that stuff when we talk unthanks all the time. He says, you can turn a whole life into a blazing flame of destruction and disaster. Oh, not only the people that you speak in an ungrateful and you are unthankful for, but for your own life, you can turn it into a great disaster. Maybe that's why so many Christians are so weak and so miserable, and that's why there's so much pain and hurt around, because we don't live thanks. Live thanks and your life will change. I mean, Paul expands on this thought in such a wonderful way. Just listen to this. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 9 and 10. And he says, we should not tempt the Lord. What is he saying? We should not try God's patience. We should not become a trial to him. Ons moenie moeilikmakers vir die Here wees nie, man. We should be thankful people that speak thanks, that live thanks, that people can be drawn to Jesus. We mustn't make life miserable when the Lord looks at you. He must be happy to have you as his child. He says, don't become a trial to him, critically appraising him. In other words, we're always assessing his performance. He's not good to me today. Today he's been good to me again. We sit and appraise and assess God. Who do you think you are, man? I asked you that last week. or the previous week. Who do you think you are? God owes you nothing. But you know, when you come and give thanks, he just opens up his generous blessing on your life. He said, Paul says, we mustn't critically appraise him and exploit his goodness, take advantage of his goodness. We mustn't do that, as some of them did. And now he's referring to Israel. Because of their unthankfulness, they were killed by the poisonous serpents, nor discontentedly complain as some of them did, and were put out of the way entirely by the destroyer, and his destroyer's name was death. That's what happened to Israel. God got sick and tired of their murmuring, their unthankfulness, their ungratefulness. Listen, disciples live a thankful life. If you're not living a thankful life, there's something deeply wrong in your walk with Jesus. Paul says that the Jews grumbled and complained and they were destroyed by the destroyer. And here's something important to listen to this. Please hear this. The fact is this, that every time we open up to grumbling and complaining, the quality of our life is reduced proportionately to my continuous complaining. A miserable person that's always complaining lives in misery. I find a lot of those people are suffering from all sorts of oppressions, depressions, enemy attacks in their lives. Nothing works out in their lives because of their unthankfulness. The destroyer is bringing your life to ruin. That's what the Bible says. Don't minimize the strength and the cunning of the enemy. Please do not. Oh, he loves it. He thrives on it. It's like energy to the devil when you're a miserable lemon sucker, when you're not thankful. Listen to this. Who is this destroyer? Listen to Revelation 9 verse 11 says this. The angel of the abyss of the bottomless pit of hell. That's who the angel is. This is the one he's talking about. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, destruction. And in the Greek, he's called, listen to the word, Apollyon, which means destroyer. You see, Jesus called him out in John 10, verse 10. He says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. He's the destroyer. He's the destroyer of the brethren. Paul said the Jews were destroyed by the Spirit. Be careful that you don't get destroyed by the Spirit. Important to know this. In other words, listen to this. When we're complaining or unthankful, what do? We begin to open up the door to the destroyer and we play right into his hand. And it's important that you hear this, church. It's so important that you hear this subtly, deceptively. It becomes undetected. We become this complaining, miserable, grumbling person. Check your words. Check what you say. How are you speaking? If you have nothing for which to be thankful, make up your mind today as you hear this word, there is something deeply wrong with your walk with God. Are you truly a disciple of Jesus? If you have nothing for which to be thankful, you need to know. There's something wrong with your life. So many Christians have become really, really sadly specialists. Hey, I call this the science of misery. They're experts who can, in a moment, just like that, just in a moment, they can give you all the wrongs, all the raw deals, all the bad circumstances that life, society, and everyone has done to them. Oh, my life is such a mess. You know, those people did this to me, and look where I am now. Man, stop it. You know what I spoke about last week? A disciple lives actively and effectively in the now. Just start looking at what God's given you, man. Start being thankful. You watch your circumstances turn around graciously and victoriously. Hallelujah. I've never talked with one of these kind of unhappy, miserable, continuously unhappy people that were blessed and content about anything in their life. They expect an imperfect world to treat them perfectly. Always, you must come and do something to me. I'm miserable. The world always owes me something. Listen. But for most, listen, I want to say this. There are people that need special attention. There obviously are people that are going through tough times and hardship. And the Bible says we need to encourage one another. And sometimes people can be down and we all get to those places and those people need it. But listen, for the most of us, I can say this. We simply need to repent of ingratitude. Ondankbaarheid is die woord daarso. Ingratitude. It's the ingratitude itself that is keeping, listen, it's keeping the wounds alive in our lives. It's ondankbaarheid that does that. Wounds of unforgiveness, wounds of bitterness, wounds of unkindness, wounds of past things that people have done to you. These things keep alive an unthankful, ungrateful life. We need to forgive the wrongs of the past and become thankful for what we have. In the present, hey, living today, not yesterday or tomorrow, today. Always think about the Portuguese guy when the army sergeant said to him, did you come here to die when he was in work? He said, no, sir, sergeant, I come here yesterday. Hallelujah. You see, it is God's will that we'll be thankful. Did you hear that? It is God's will, disciple, that you will be thankful. And Paul writes that to the Thessalonians church. He says, 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18. He says, in 1 Thessalonians 5 18, he says, thank God in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. Because we're going to be in circumstances that will not be pleasant. But thank God in everything. Not, oh Lord, I just thank you that my life's a mess. I thank you, Lord, that I've got no job now. No, no. He says, thank God in, while you're going through a tough time, thank God in everything. No matter what your circumstances may be thankful. Hello? Be thankful and give thanks. Do what? Give thanks. That's what we do. For this is the will. This is the will. This is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and the mediator of that incredible will. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus? That we will be thankful no matter what we are going through. In the moment we become grateful, we actually begin to ascend spiritually into the presence of God. That's why I really believe when the psalmist wrote this, it was so beautiful. Psalm 100 verse 2. Listen, he says, serve the Lord with unhappiness. No, no, man. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Kijk, as you're ungelukkig and miserable and you're lemon sucker, how can you come before the Lord in his presence with singing? Because all you do is you carry this heaviness around you all the time, and you can't be thankful, and you can't say thankful, and be thankful before the Lord. We need to watch ourselves. Psalm 100 verse 4 and 5 says this, enter into his gates with what? With thanksgiving and a thankful offering, and into his courts with what? With praise. And again, he says it three times in this portion of scripture. Be thankful and say to him, blessed, affectionately praise his name, for the Lord is good, and the Lord's mercy and his loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and his truth do what? Endure for when? All generations. Aren't you so happy it said that? So for our generation, his mercy and his goodness. Boy, if you've got nothing else to thank God for, thank him for that. And you know what? When I said run the race, pass the baton, it's for the next generation too. How are you living? If you're a lemon sucker, nobody wants to serve the Jesus you serve. But when you're a joyful, thankful oak, man, you can pass the baton on, because somebody wants what you've got. You're going through difficult circumstances, and in those circumstances, you're thankful, you are joyful. People want to serve the God you serve. Would you serve the God you serve with the way you're thankful? Just a little frochie there. We would worry less if we praised more. Amen. We worry less if we praise more. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discontent. Thanksgiving is the enemy of dissatisfaction. Thanksgiving is the enemy of discouragement. You better believe it, that it nullifies the enemy's attack on your life. Listen to me. Do you want the enemy to leave your life? Well, begin to give thanks. Whoa. Man, you need to try this. Really. I really want to challenge you, because I can tell you, the more joyful, the more you smile, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. You cannot have Jesus' joy and be a miserable man. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I walk in strength. The enemy knows, hey, you can't lull with this, man. He puts me on my place every time, because the enemy killed, steal, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life, and that life abundantly. Live it with thanks, man. Live it with thanksgiving. Praise be to Jesus. I love it. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. The instant you begin to thank God, even though your situation might not have changed, let me tell you what happens. You begin to change. Oh, when you begin to give thanks and you're in a difficult thing and you begin to put on a CD and you worship and you praise and you say, God, I might be going through a tough time, but you know what, Lord? I love you and I praise you and I know you're the breakthrough of my life, and I give thanks to Jesus, because right now in heaven, the Bible says that the soos donder sla. I won't say that in English because I might mess it up, but like thunder, The worship of God is going up. They're saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord before the throne. There's thanksgiving in heaven. The day you walk into heaven, that's why I said it earlier, you need to learn to be thankful here and praise here, because one day you're going to have to do it in heaven all of the time, because it's going to be so awesome. The eternity, you're not even going to have enough words to say, God, whoa, whoa, whoa. You need to start saying that now, man. Start reading your Bible. See the blessings of the Lord and the favor of the Lord on our lives and the goodness that He has for His children. The key that unlocks the gates of heaven, listen to this, is a thankful heart. Entrance into the courts of God comes by simply beginning to praise the Lord Jesus. You know, Arthur John said it, and it's what I was saying now. This one of the writers said this, and I'm going to close with this before we take communion today. He says, thanksgiving is the language of heaven, and you had better start to learn it if you are not to be a mere dumb alien there. Oh, what do these do? You know, some people are such lemon suckers, but they want to go to heaven. You joyful disciples will be at home in heaven, man. A lemon sucker, ish, you're going to have a hard time there, man. And God is not getting you there to come and have a hard time. Hallelujah. Praise God. I close with the scripture before we go into communion. Ephesians 5:20 says, at all times and for everything. Listen, how many times? At all times. Now we've got that made out. And for everything, give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Father, I just want to thank you for these beautiful people that have listened to this word this morning. And we want to come and we want to thank you right now, Lord, for the table of the Lord. We thank you for what you did for us on that cross. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood flowed so that we can have a new covenant in Christ Jesus. Thank you for what you've done in Jesus' name. I want to share with you this just before we take communion about Mother Teresa. She told the story when she was addressing a national prayer conference in 1994. Man, this stirred my heart. One evening we went out and we picked up four people from the street. They were doing missionary work. And it was her and three ladies, and they're out there doing this mission work. And they saw one of these ladies was in the most terrible condition, absolutely down and out, almost on the corner of her death. And she says to the sisters, you take the three that look better, and I'll take the one that looks the worst, and I will look after her, says Mother Teresa. So I did for her what my love could do for her. I put her in a bed, I made her comfortable, and she looked at me with this beautiful face. She took hold of my hand, and she said these two words that changed my life. Just two words. Listen. Thank you. She just said those two words. Thank you. And you know how that spoke to Mother Teresa? You know how that spoke to Pastor George Lehman? These two words. Thank you. Look, it's just so moving. She took hold of her hand and she said thank you. Then she said, the woman died as she said thank you. She said, I couldn't help but examine my conscience right there before her, looking at her. I asked myself, and this is what I ask you today, and I ask myself, what would I say if I were in this woman's place? And she says, my answer would have simply been this. I would have tried to draw little attention to myself, poor little me. Or what I would have said is, I'm hungry, I'm dying, I'm in pain, life's thrown a bad curveball at me, it wasn't my fault, or something like that. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love, and she died with a smile on her face. Gratitude brings a smile. It becomes a gift. I pray that that would minister to you today. Let us recommit to God our thankfulness today. And I want to read this as I've written it. Blessed Lord Jesus, forgive us for being a complainer, for being a grumbler, for being miserable. Help us, Lord, to offer to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving in all things. By your grace, we will, Lord, be thankful disciples, regardless of what our lives are going through, what we're going through right now. Oh God, draw us to your heart in the name of Jesus. I want to read to you this one scripture, and I'll read to you the others just now. But 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul writes to the church, and verse 28 says, a man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks a judgment upon himself. Oh, Lord Jesus, may your grace be with us today. A disciple is a thankful person. Brothers and sisters, let us take, today we take the bread, which is his body. And the Bible says this so beautifully. He says, for I received from the Lord the night that I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had taken the bread, he'd given thanks. He broke the bread. And he said to them, this is my body, which is for you. This is his body for us. Please hear that. His body for us. We rooted and grounded in him. We stand on a solid foundation because his body was broken for us. He says this, do this in remembrance of me. Let's do it today in remembrance of Jesus. Lord, change our stinking thinking into a life of gratitude and thankfulness. Come, let us eat together in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that your body was broken for us so that we can have healing enough to be thankful for the rest of our lives. For the rest of our lives, we can be thankful. And then in the same way, he says this, in the same way after supper, he took a cup saying, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes. Every day, with thankfulness, we proclaim Jesus is coming back. But until Jesus comes back, how are we going to live? We're going to live with a thankful heart. Let us take and let us drink the blood in his new covenant. And we think of what Jesus did for us so that we can supernaturally, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the world is saying, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter the corruption, no matter the heartache, no matter what it is, you know what? You're an overcomer because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And I pray that our words will be testimony of thanks. Come, let us drink in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you did for us on Calvary. I pray right now, Lord, for each one that has heard this sermon. I pray that there will be a stirring in the hearts of your church, that they will hear what the Spirit of the Lord said, and that, Lord, we will begin to become children of God, disciples who are thankful and grateful. I praise you for that. I thank you for the work that you do in the hearts of the people. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And the Lord be with you always. May God bless you. We love you. Keep watching the media because soon we will gather. And I cannot wait to see my family. I love you and I miss you. God bless. Have a beautiful day and live a life of thanks. Amen. Bye.
I've been left alone. I've been pushed away. I've been tried and tested, but I'll never go astray.